Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast today, and thanks for tuning in. Joining me today is one of my favorite colleagues, from whom I've learned so much from. I'm also grateful I get to work with them on a daily basis, and that's Todd Acevedo. And Todd has been around the HR and payroll space for a very long time in a variety of roles at different companies, and he's become a true expert, as well as one of our top global leaders. So thanks a lot for joining me, Todd. Happy to have your expertise.
Thanks, Imran. It's great to be here. I'm always happy to have a conversation with the guy that actually wrote the book. Everybody reads it. So we have these conversations on a daily, and I know sometimes we stop about halfway through and say, we should record this. So I'm glad we're finally doing it.
I know. We've been meaning to get around to it. It's just been a busy first half of this year for sure. So
yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's get right to it, Todd. You've worked with, hundreds of customers. You've seen a whole bunch of things. And we're here to talk about global payroll and payroll overall. But what are some of the reasons why someone would want to consolidate to a global payroll rather than having just like a whole bunch of different providers from your point of view, like in country?
Yeah, like providers by country, yeah. So, right. You know, I do get to talk to a lot of the largest companies in the world about how they do payroll. It's one of the funner parts of my job. And what I've noticed, there's a laundry list of things, but I think what kind of bubbles up to the top is this idea of payroll operations and the service delivery, right? So it's, it's how are they delivering the service to their customer? And the flexibility to adapt that service delivery to the business changes with way more agility than kind of the service bureau or other legacy intersourcing, quote unquote, providers like ADP and Ultimate. They're not, that is a very stable model, but it's also right. Hard to change when you're buying and selling and diversifying or divesting customers, which may be a whole country of customers. So it's that flexibility combined with, are we creating a center of excellence to help us with the technology and the service delivery, or is there a shared service effort going on within the organization to bring the entire service delivery under a single roof and have a tremendous amount of redundancy? I think that COVID has taught us that we need to be one, remote, capable,
right. For sure.
And redundant, right? Because, we used to say in the old days, whoever wrote the program, I hope they don't get hit by a bus, because then we're really in the pickle. And nowadays, it's just not acceptable. So right. We need to consolidate. So, there's fewer vendors, more consolidation, less areas for risk. I think that's kind of what that boils down to. Mm-hmm. And then I would say something else, from not just the vendor piece of it, but the experience piece. Like, we can't have this conversation, especially we're the HXM Move company. We can't have, or the HXM company.
HXM period, yeah.
Yeah, right on. We can't have this conversation without talking about, what is payroll to how people feel about the organization? Back in the day, payroll was about accuracy and timeliness, and right, that hasn't gone away, right? But those are kind of assumed characteristics mm-hmm. now. And now it's about how payroll makes people feel. Mm-hmm. And in your consumer life, you go to the bank and you see people losing it. You go on an airplane, you see people losing it. And the third place that people lose it is with their payroll, right? I mean, that their financial picture, right? So we have to be very careful about how we deal with folks around the consistency and transparency of the payroll process. So we've gone from focusing on accuracy and timeliness to assuming those things, and now looking at, what is the experience that we're delivering? And I think pay statements are again kind of maybe the 1990s, and then we get into self-service in the 2000s. And now we're looking at things like early wage access, right? That ability to let an employee take a portion of their already earned wages before the period end or payday or in the, or, you know, in the middle of those days. And we've all heard stories of how that has changed people's lives. I mean, the famous one is, you know, a lady had to buy her insulin for her child and was either going to go to a predatory lender, cash checking lender, or was able to do it. And that's where those comes, you know, that story of early wage access comes in and kind of the empathetic and emotional part of payroll. You remember yesterday you and I read a survey about from the American Payroll Association that talked about EWA and this idea of like it's available in 27% more or less of organizations, but in 54% organizations, people are at least somewhat likely to want to use that benefit. So there's a huge gap there and an opportunity for the payroll market to fill that gap from an experience perspective. And then I think finally, and this isn't the end of the discussion, but you know, employee experience is important, but in order to deliver transparent and accurate information consistently, the admins have to have a tool that's really focused on their experience. So how do we get all the data onto one screen, have the computer do its magic behind the screen, behind the scenes, and then present the user, the admin, with just that part that the human needs to take care of. I mean, I showed a picture of a Concorde jet cockpit, and it had thousands of switches, and it had to have three people operating it because the switches telling what the current status is, not what's broken. And if you look at a new plane coming out of Airbus or Boeing, there's very few gauges because it's just all those systems are being monitored, but it's just letting the pilots know what they need to take care of. And so that user experience transitions into the admin experience is such a critical part of making a change with payroll. And so there's a lot more we could probably talk about in 20 minutes. I think even continuous payroll is a big deal and coming just in time because now we have hundreds of new regulations and compliance and regulatory things that the HR person, depending upon region, has to figure out with the payroll person. And that's just in time, like continuous payroll comes in and saves the day because now I'm not focused on, you know, kind of the batch or due date type of process. The payroll's running all the time. And I know you talk a lot about continuous. What do you think?
Yeah, spot on. I mean, I guess even from an HXM standpoint, if we talk purely HXM, you know, and how companies need to reimagine the experiences that they give to their total workforce. But let's talk about that. So you bring in a new recruit, and let's say you give them a beautiful experience through recruiting. They're hired. You give them a beautiful experience through onboarding. Oh, great. They're super happy. You know, day one goes off without a bang. They meet all their new teammates. Everything's going great. But then you screw up their first paycheck and they get underpaid by a significant amount. Guess what? A lot of that goodwill and stuff just went out the door, right? If you don't get payroll and you know, when it comes to finances, people are very sensitive about that, and especially their money, because to your point earlier, you know, there's nothing like financial stress. So it is table stakes, but at the same time, you know, we still continue to see, you know, stories of issues and terrible things happen. So you have to get it right. And I think part of getting it right is what you referred to is by simplifying and optimizing the payroll admin's point of view, right? You talked about the person getting hit by a bus and, you know, God forbid that happens, but also just making it a good experience that makes it easy for them to get those accurate, timely payrolls out the door every single time, right? And moving away from, you know, having to do it all at once. And you know, you can talk about it from a technology standpoint. I really think that's one of the biggest innovations there's been in the last decade, right? And
absolutely.
From a global payroll standpoint, having a nice dashboard in place that has a global point of view for all the different places you're running, right? Imagine being that head of payroll and having that and seeing the possibility of centralizing payroll operations, like you mentioned, with a center of excellence or a shared services. But I also think that there's value in other places, right? If you are a company that runs payroll in 30 different countries and you have 20 different vendors, think about the challenges you have from a data administration and governance standpoint, right? I'm sure you have a bunch of different technologies to get the data into the payroll system. You might have Dell Boomi and one for one provider. You might have MuleSoft for another. For SAP, you have our BTP. And so there's all these different technologies, and they also might be coming in various file formats, right? One might be CSV, one might be XLS from an Excel format, another might be XML. And so now you have all these different technologies, you have all these different skill sets that are required, and then you have to deal with 20 different providers, right? And it's going to be a lot to keep up with. It's not going to be small feet, and it's a bunch of different people that are involved. And then if you look at the impact of that, if you have all those vendors, and now is your global payroll VP going to log in and have access to 20 different systems so they can get a big picture, or are you going to have some additional vendor that you're coming in now to try to get information over top, right? And so now really what that comes down to is the countries end up running their own show, and then the payroll person over top if it doesn't really have visibility. Whereas if you have everyone working from the same platform, that'll increase that whole local and global leadership relationship, because they can talk the same language, right? And then the leadership can have access to it and get that dashboard that can, that can see, my people that are running the Canada payroll, where are they at with the process? My people in the US, where are they at with the process? I can kind of see what's going on country to country. And so it's some advantages that don't really get talked about, even in sales cycle, right? Like, people don't realize it unless they've dealt with that pain before, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So switching gears a bit, I don't think it's another one of those things that don't get considered as much. But for us, one of the biggest advantages from an SAP standpoint is our ecosystem and really what dynamics that creates, right? I don't think there's any other vendor in the whole world that can really compete with that in the same way, right? One of the things that I've talked to with our customers is really the flexibility they get with our ecosystem. And a common example is, it comes up more than you would expect to. Let's just say you get a new payroll leader, a new CFO or someone who's in charge of payroll, and they feel strongly about what to do with payroll. So they'll come in and say, why are we running it in-house? That doesn't make sense. It's not our core business. Let's outsource it. And then boom, that's just the decision. Now everyone else has to kind of answer to that. And even if there isn't necessarily a business case to outsource it, the leader just comes in and everyone else reacts. I mean, Todd, I'm sure you've seen it so many times over the years, but If you're on most platforms, that's really going to mean a rip and replace. So that's a whole new project. It'll tend to be very expensive. It's going to come with high risks. And then what you ultimately end up with is now you're tied to a new vendor for both the technology to run the payroll and then the services they're offered. And a lot of times with those vendors, then you're stuck with them because they really have a leverage advantage on you. As opposed to, if you can separate the technology from the services. So what are some of the advantages and things that you've seen in terms of really having that separation, as well as having multiple options for service providers with one technology like SAP?
Yeah, no, that's a great segue there, because it's one of the reasons I'm here, right? I've talked to so many customers that maybe 10 or 15 years ago that we're talking about this nirvana of, I want a great technology with a great service over the top, with the elasticity that allows me to flex by country, by subdivision, a subsidiary, or by, process. Like, we want to do this process, but not this other one. So like a critical, but not non-strategic processes are handled from an outsourced perspective. And then those critical strategic ones are done, in-house or by another vendor altogether. And never before in my 30-year history in payroll was I able to say, how do you want to do it? And then create a solution around that. And here, you mentioned, the technology component and the ecosystem component. And I'll add one more component. It's the commercialization capability. And so we have an incredibly articulate commercialization team who understands what's going on the payroll market specifically, and has given us a bunch of different options, even on how, do I want to own the software? Do I want to rent it? Do I want to buy it from the same person that's providing the service? even though it's this is consistent SAP technology, but now I have multiple service providers from their large ecosystem. Right. So that's really, it's like a 3D matrix. And and I can really talk to the payroll leader about what do you want to do? And then we can talk about the benefits and detractors or risks of each of the scenarios. And oftentimes it turns out that they're staffed differently in each region. You know, it's not hard to imagine, right? And so they may have multiple models. And why have multiple technologies? If one technology can handle, you know, so our software works in over 100 countries, covers more than 90% of the Earth's working population. Center on that technology, and then we can talk about service delivery separately. Right. Oh, you want to have it as an OpEx. Okay, we've got that model. You want to have it as an OpEx, but you want to buy it from the same people that are providing the service delivery. We've got that model too, with partner managed cloud. So that really you can control and have the flexibility that you need based on your industry in your regions that you're operating in. And what we see today is like probably the biggest deal is, hey, we're opening up a business in Costa Rica. We need 20,000 people in Costa Rica by a year from today. And our answer is always no problem. You know, so that is something that you don't get when you want to look at it all together or in solving it with an in-country provider, right? Mm-hmm. Even consolidators, that's that third party that you mentioned before. You know, there's a layer of abstraction between you and the consolidator and another one between the consolidator and each of the regions that they do business. That's too many holes. Too many places for things to go bump in the night. So, you know, with Payroll Control Center, you have like almost a vendor, you can have almost a vendor dashboard where you can see the status of all of your payrolls. Mm-hmm. And you can create your own audits or you can get the audits from our partners. They've created some amazing machine learning type of audits that tell you, oh, in Costa Rica, back to Costa Rica, because it's a great place to vacation. You have a $20,000 variance from your last payroll. It's going to tell you that right away because payroll is continuous. So I didn't have to wait for payday to suck in the time data or period ending date. You know, I didn't, it happened the day that the mistake happened in the field. And, you know, depending upon the error, I can act on it or I can wait for the partner to act on it, but at least you know it's happening. And things like, you know, what I remember back in the day too, is it was hard if you needed a certain type of report or you needed a certain type of operation to have on the back end. If you're working with that legacy service bureau mentality, it's, you know, you got to get in line, right? This allows you to have that control of doing it today and because your CFO says, I need it today. And you're not having to get on the phone and make promises at somebody else. That is, those days are over, right? So by consolidating that functionality and then using Payroll Control Center across the top, you can have payroll any way you want with any commercial model in almost any country. And that, you know, I think I was, you know, kind of born to end up at SAP because I always like to say, you know, yes, this is how we can help you. When a payroll manager is lamenting their woes, right? Especially in the global environment.
Right, right. Yeah, and I mean, I guess what I would add is that with ECP, we're starting to see more of that. We're starting to see more customers that come in and saying, hey, I want to own the technology. And you know what? I want the license with SAP. That way it's my system, my employee data, right? We haven't even talked about data ownership, but they want to own that data. And then guess what? Over the top, they're coming in and say, hey, I'm going to bring in partner X. And they're going to be the ones actually pushing that button. And to your point, now that they're using, and actually many of our partners are starting to now leverage our Payroll Control Center as, you know, that vendor management dashboard. So guess what? Now, even though I'm not the one running my payroll, I can see, hey, my vendor, you know, the we've agreed to 50 alerts, right? Things like pay variances or severance people getting paid. And so I'm helping with all the pre-payroll activity in a continuous payroll. I'm helping with that. And I can see exactly where we are. And, you know, getting away from running reports. So if I'm the global payroll manager, guess what? I can go to that PCC dashboard and say, hey, our total gross is $1.2 million for this US payroll. Last period, it was 1.1. I have that without having to run a report. And then I can say, as of my vendor has 5 more alerts before payroll runs tomorrow. And guess what? I know that we're going to be in really good shape for the payroll run that we have tomorrow. That decreases my stress level. That decreases, you know, the team's stress level. And it makes a huge difference, especially from that experience standpoint. And it makes a big difference even for our partners, right? Our partners are doing this for our customers. Well, they're using the technology to make it easier for themselves. And we've given them a framework for them to have a relationship with our customers and just make it easier for all of them. And now you throw on the fact that you can do this across the globe. That's a huge advantage. And, you know, it's actually funny that you brought that up earlier, because, you know, last week I talked to a customer who went from running payroll to outsourcing it. And they were able to make the handoff using an SAP technology, and they're able to transition it from within weeks rather than months. And you think about that. If you look at the old way we talked about, that would have meaning, you know, RFP process, looking for a new technology, vetting multiple vendors. I mean, I'd guess it'd be over a year from, because it's not just about, first you have to vet the vendors, make the decision. And now guess what? You're a year into it and your people have to learn a whole new technology, speak a whole new language, figure all of that out. All right. And so,
yeah, well, you know, one of the things I think it's interesting, we haven't even talked about, like, I think we just put it as table stakes that accuracy and operational excellence, or the ability to do what I need, whether it's a sophisticated retro or some other kind of, you know, payroll monkey wrench that gets thrown in, you know, that's something that is not a given. And we talk to customers all day long that are coming from other technologies that says, I couldn't do that in my payroll system. And how are you doing payroll? Like it's a binary thing. It's a zero or a one. There is no gray, right? You have to do it, and you have to do it right. So we haven't even, I mean, maybe that's a subject for next time.
I know. We probably need like a whole series actually with all this stuff. But, you know, to that point, I actually saw, and you're aware of this, I mean, we passed research back and forth, but, you know, that most recent post-COVID Deloitte research showed, you know, 67% of organizations identified technology limitations. And then part of the data entry is one of the biggest payroll processing challenges.
And there you go.
I think from our standpoint, with our platform and, you know, how it's matured and, you know, what we built, that's certainly not as much of a concern as others, because, you know, we have that mature system capable of doing retros, you know, a variety of different prorations and so much more that others really aren't able to offer.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things working at SAP and working with our platform is I don't have to answer payroll questions. It's way more strategic. It's way more about how we deliver that experience both to the employee and the admin, and a lot less about, you know, can you take a time entry and multiply it by 0.3 and then use a piece rate? We don't, because I, you know, with over 100 million customer or, you know, users of our system, I think everybody knows that, yeah, this is more than capable, and especially with as a global platform as well.
Right. It makes it a lot easier. All right. Well,
yeah, absolutely.
I think we're a little over time, but I'm definitely going to have you back because, you know, as I do even in our regular conversations. And like you said, we always say, we should have recorded that. But thanks a lot for joining me today, Todd. Really appreciate all your insight. As always, love the conversations and thanks for providing your expertise and insight. I think people will find it very helpful. And I think this will be an episode people really enjoy.
Thanks, Imran. It's always great to spend time with you.